So at the end of the day, like, we're decentralized. We don't go by the same rules as you do. From the jail cell, that story becomes less intriguing.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just all it's man. Are we even going to the moon at this point? Why am I wearing this?
Emergency Impulsive Podcast. What a crazy day, an unprecedented day on Wall Street. Welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. GME restricted, Nokia restricted, AMC restricted, Robinhood has restricted stocks, trading on certain stocks. Wall Street's going, what are you doing? What are you doing?
We still going, boys?
Huh? This is too
good.
Are
we still going or what? Are we going
Mike.
Is the trip canceled?
That was yesterday. No, the trip to the moon is postponed for now.
Well, I feel like
until further notice. Yeah. It's a disaster. Yeah. If you're like me, guys, you don't quite understand stocks. I've had to have a real self-reflective moment where I had to ask myself, am I dumb? People have described stocks to me for years, over and over and over again, and I've never truly gotten it. And then yesterday, when all this craziness started happening with the game stonks, I had you come over and whiteboard it out for me. Everyone, this is Chase Hero. He's a good friend of mine. He also built the Maverick Club. He's been in the stock market for over a decade, and your portfolio is quite diversified, and you're very good with your money. And so you gave me a little crash course on the stock market and what was happening and the background of the Redditors and Wall Street versus the Wall Street Bets and the layman versus hedge funds. Now it's Dave Portnoy versus Robinhood. It's been a crazy morning. It's been a volatile morning. So this episode, we're going to educate you exactly what's going on, how we got here, and I guess what's going to happen to the future of Wall Street, because I can't see this not being a pivotal moment in trading history.
It'll be changed forever. Absolutely.
Are you surprised this morning as you sit here? I woke up and saw the news that the impenetrable shield around the wealthiest of Americans remains semi-impenetrable. I think Reddit has done a great job. But at the end of the day, are you surprised? Are you shocked that this is happening?
I'm not, unfortunately. You know, believe it or not, as I always tell you guys, the way I trade is normally like 10 years out, right? Yeah. I buy something, hold it for 10 years because they're notoriously good at this. You know, at the end of the day, the average person investing wants the win. Like, they probably aren't winning a lot in life. Mm. So they're hunting for that win. And when it's robbed from them, it demotivates them. And they're like, all right, it'll never come back. Or that $5,000, maybe I shouldn't have put in. Mm. Now it's $2,000. I need that money.
That's why it's sad.
It's so sad because what happens? It just goes right back up. And they're moving these markets around in just such a crazy way. I mean, but to be honest with you, it's to be expected. And I think that we can also probably expect that absolutely no one will go to jail because of
this. That's the thing. So many people are saying, they can't do that. Well, isn't that illegal? This has to be a crime. Someone should be thrown in jail. And I keep saying this morning, the same people that benefit from this happening are the ones that make the laws to prevent it from happening in the future. What do you think they're going to do? This is a systemic fucking problem, dude. It's designed for exactly this to happen.
The thing is, they want you to get in the market enough with hope, but at the same time, they want to make the margin.
It's so weird. It's like they're dangling that hope, that prospect of potentially making money in front of you. But then when it happens, they're like, oh, whoa, you made too much. And it sucks that the billionaires were able to take back, at least for now, the power from the trillion thousandaires however many.
Well, it's because also the
new that many, money. But actually,
And you watch the news dangle huge returns. It's like they glorify these insane returns. You see it on CNBC, Wall Street. You see it all the time. Like, look at these crazy gains. So someone gets into the stock market their first time. They're like anticipating that's what's going to happen to them. Mm. And when it doesn't, I mean, it is the ripple effect of this will be horrible. Right now, this is incredibly fucked. People are really down on their luck.
Can I ask you how down on your luck you are? You don't have to say. I'll say.
Yeah. So I'll be honest with you. I joined this for fun. You know, I put $100,000 in. At one point this morning, it was a little over $5 million, then like $8 million. And then I went to go sell the options and you could tell they were manipulating the market. They were $10,000. I was like, well, how can this be? This makes no sense. And then I realized It's always been this way. They don't trust the average person to act freely because they think that if you think freely, new things will change and it will board about things that they can't control, i.e. cryptocurrencies and things of that nature. So Reddit is, you know, they couldn't control the platform. They can't control free traders, but what do? They lock their access out to Robinhood. You know, I believe most wealthy people can just call up their broker and still buy all these things right now.
Yeah,
for sure.
Which is just so screwed.
How is Robinhood or some of these other trading platforms defending their position on halting the ability to trade these stocks? Is it because they see some sort of, illegalities in the fact that this is happening in the first place? Is it a liability thing on their end?
Or
I also saw alerts coming yesterday from the app saying that there's a tremendous amount of volatility right now. Be careful. So are they claiming that they're protecting their users?
They put out, in light of current market volatility, we are restricting transactions for certain securities to position closing only, including AMC and GME. Read more here.
But why? Like, if you pop that open, why are they doing it? Why are they claiming they are doing it?
I think they're saying they're trying to protect their end user from like buying in right now.
Super volatile stocks.
Correct. But here's the problem is there's millions of people who all bought in and you just cut them out at the knees.
They created the volatility.
Correct. Right. I mean, the thing is should it be at the price it is? That's relative. I mean, it really is. The world we live in is ever changing. So like, I don't think fundamentals are going to say they are, but if enough people trust something, they can send it wherever they want. Case in point, Tesla, right? So I think that just they're trying to stifle people's choice. It's so crazy.
Funny that an app called Robinhood is literally doing the exact opposite of what Robinhood did.
He was a hero.
They're robbing the hood. Literally. They're robbing the fucking hood. Dude.
Portnoy posted this. Citadel bails out Melvin Capital. So then Ken Griffin calls up Robinhood CEO Vlad and says, don't allow buying GME, AMC, and Naked anymore. I know you got some of that yesterday. Citadel handles 60% of Robinhood's trades. Basically, Robinhood needs Citadel / Ken Griffin. So the platforms and the people that are backed by the money are still always going to choose the money.
Correct.
And it sucks.
And Citadel's really powerful. I think that people forget that they're the people who essentially high frequency trade this. So when when Robinhood sends their trade off to the ecosystem to go back to the exchange to buy something, they're buying that position from them. And they're raking up a couple pennies. Mm-hmm. And they make that margin on both sides. So they always are flush with capital and able to kind of move the market how they see fit. This should be illegal. There's no question about it.
1,000%. There has to be some sort of accountability taken. This I don't understand. My brain cannot compute how this is not criminal. Is it a class action lawsuit?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, how are they? They're not gonna prosecute the people that are making them the money. Do you know what I'm saying? They're all eating off of it. All of the administrators or legislators that would make laws to prevent this type of thing from happening are eating
It's in Citadel.
This is what's funding their trips to Pebble Beach. This is what's fueling their jets. Like activity like this and like. I was thinking about it more this morning. It's like putting the internet, which everyone, says is undefeated, and I sure hope it continues to prove so, against a truly undefeated fucking monster that is the American financial system. This is a system, unlike the internet, that has not lost. This system cannot lose. If you take down the banks, they are bailed out with taxpayer money.
Yep.
The money we make to shut them down, we then pay back to get them back up. They're simply reskinned, reformatted to attack us from a different flank. It doesn't fucking matter. It doesn't matter, dude. And so in a lot of ways...
I like the suit. He's riled up in his suit. We are on a trip right now.
He's still going to the moon.
And listen, you kind of came thing. Listen, I had to do this just for you guys. Look at this. I wore my naked underwear.
Wow, the stock's restricted though, so.
I'm stuck with it.
We're probably going to get this all flagged and stuff. Hashtag not naked, my bad.
Some of the Wall Street Bets folks are being shadow banned. The guy who I'm about to invite on the podcast, which I'm going to do now, he hopefully has some answers for us and can educate us a little bit on how this started, where we're at, where we're going. His account is shadow banned, literally. And there was a moment yesterday where they shut down the Reddit.
Yeah, it was crazy. And now it's, steaming on 5 million people. What's next week going to be like? I just feel like it's such a voice that this could get crazy out of hand. And again, you have to remember the powers that be, they can just unplug everything.
So I was
Take us back to the Stone Age.
So here's my question. And this is going to be this is completely devil's advocate. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but I was watching that scene from The Matrix this morning where the guy's eating the steak and he says, you know, for 8 years, they told me that this wasn't real. And he eats the steak and he goes, ignorance is bliss. And the and the Matrix guy says to him, so we have a deal, you know, like in a lot of ways, I'm just like, yo, should I just dump full back into Amazon and just like, at what point do I just get back on the giant shoulders and at least, please, sir, please, just a couple dollars for me. Like, that's you fun. Know what I'm saying? I'm not saying do that. Like, keep fucking fighting. But it's just like, yo, are we going to keep getting fucking pulverized in the ground? Or is Elon Musk going to take us to Mars and save us? I want to go somewhere to space.
We could tell.
I dressed for it quite fucking later. Yeah. I thought we were going to the moon. And now everybody's still holding, but not because they want to, because they fucking have to, because they can't sell the stock.
Well, yeah, and you're destroying people. Like, you talk about, like, the mental issues and, like, the things people go through, mental health. What do you think a whole bunch of people are going through right now when they've just been like, they're like, you took my choice away?
I believe we have them on. Can you hear us?
Mm-hmm.
How are you, brother?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Amazing. Yeah, pretty good. It's been a wild morning, huh?
Oh, you can say that again. I still have my protein shake breakfast, which I've barely touched.
Have you been stressed out? Have you been busy?
Busy, yeah. Stressed out, not really. You know, this is Wall Street Bets has been in the press before, and I've been in the press before. You know, certainly not to this extent. So,
yeah,
busy, yeah, but stressed, no, man. I'm enjoying it.
Got you. Well, really appreciate you taking the time to hop on with us on such a short notice. And Jamie, I wanted to clarify your involvement in Wall Street Bets because, right, your Twitter says founder of Wall Street Bets, but if I understand correctly, it's not controlled by anyone in particular. It's not owned by anyone in particular, right? It's a open forum with a few moderators what's your actual?
That's correct. Right. So founding really means that I created the subreddit, that I went on the Reddit platform and on other social platforms, Twitter, YouTube, whatever. And I came up with the name and I registered it. And on Reddit specifically, you know, you start a community, kind of say what the rules are for the topic, and you promote it to try to grow it and get the conversation going. And then as the creator of it, you're also the head moderator, meaning that you get to decide, you know, all the moderation stuff, what the Reddit looks like, what conversations are allowed, not allowed, and how it's grown. So promoted it, grew it over the years. I was a moderator for pretty much the entire time up until April of last year.
Got you. Very cool. Very cool.
I had some people reaching out to me this morning, like messaging me. Does even this this practice of speaking on shows upset other members of the community? Because I got quite a few messages from people.
I'm sorry. I switched the Wi-Fi network.
I thought he does that from time to time.
I just switched the Wi-Fi.
He has a poker face for sure. No wonder he's the head.
Hey, sorry about it. You got cut off.
I'll jump back in. I just got some mess shit. And I don't even know how I started the Wi-Fi switch.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I got some messages from people this morning that were basically, you know, kind of telling me that they were upset. No one speaks for us. We're an open community. Does this practice of even speaking on platforms like this, like, upset the community, or how does that work?
You just came off of TMZ, CNBC, CBS, right? You've been,
I've done all of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, I don't speak for Wall Street Bets. Nobody speaks for Wall Street Bets. It's not an organized movement or community. It is by definition just a group of people that go on there and they share topics, and if they like the topics, they upvote it. You know, like a retweet, and those conversations, which get a lot of attention, end up going to the top people to talk about. There is no unified person that speaks on behalf of Wall Street Bets. You know, the appearances I've been making and have been from the perspective of the founder of Wall Street Bets about my experience with it, and as a passive part, you know, observer of this phenomenon. To be honest with you, I got no skin in this game. That's why, you know, when you asked if I was stressed, no, I'm just watching this, enjoying this. I'm talking about the subject that's taking place, which I have a lot of interest in.
Got it.
Gotcha. Very cool. All right. So I want to take a second to educate everyone listening who maybe isn't familiar with how all of this started. How did this viral game stonk boom even begin?
I guess it was slowly making. Wall Street Bets started with people that are saying, including me, that wanted to learn how to trade, how to make some extra money, don't mind taking extra risks, don't mind losing whatever it is that you're putting on the table. There had been pretty much two schools of thought in the world of the stock market. You got this, you know, the scholarly approach, which we can probably categorize to the boomers, which, you know, take this fundamental approach and they analyze and they do value versus growth and they crunch numbers and they sit there on collect dividends. Then you had a more active group of people, which these are professionals that buy and sell stocks with no long-term interest in them. They're just cashing in on short-term moves. Individuals did this on their own, and large institutions do that as well. You know, all big firms, Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, they all have trading desks. This new category that kind of developed, you know, I started with that kind of category, this trading. It evolved into this meme stock mentality, this meme stock boom, where people no longer care about the stock price moves. They no longer care about the mechanics of what's taking place. They just think it's funny and they'll put a picture. It goes viral. Everyone talks about it. They enjoy it. They don't care if it goes up or down. They can bet either direction and they just have a blast doing it. And sometimes they make money.
That's wild. So what was the thing that, what was the catalyst for GameStop?
You know, I've been asked about, like, so what do you think about this movement? They're knocking out all these big hedge funds, whatever. Like, I don't think Wall Street Bets doesn't have the capacity. They don't have the organizational structure. Like, they don't have a leader that said, hey guys, let's knock over a hedge fund today. They most likely, this is my prediction, they most likely started like any other stock that they talk about. They started trading it. They start making money with it. And all of a sudden, they see this effect because so many people are doing this and the type of trades that they're doing, they're using these stock options that have an effect as to how the entire mechanics of the market works. It ended up inadvertently pushing the stock up, or maybe advertently, I have no idea. And as soon as that started holding steam, then people said, wow, the more we do this, the more we can make. Like, usually if you place bets, and historically in the stock market as well, as an individual, if you think Apple's going up or down, you make a bet and that's it. You're either right or wrong. On horse races in sports, you do the same thing. You're either right or wrong. You make or lose. But in this case, all of a sudden, these guys are influencing the outcome of the bet because by the very nature of the fact that lots of people do it, all of a sudden the price is doing stuff relative to the number of people that are doing it. And so that got attention, and that's pretty much the reason why it's exploding.
So the internet in the form of Redditors got together, functioned as a unit, and went head-to-head against hedge funds.
You know, to me, that's what's crazy about it. Like, you take enough chaos, you end up finding order out of it. Like, you end up scrambling, you know, a deck of cards long enough, you'll get them in order, I suppose. And, I kind of feel that this is what happened here. There, historically, you go on Wall Street, you have people that go, I think this stock market is going to go down. I think the stock market is going to go up. And they have between each other a rivalry of shorts versus longs. You know, people are betting on the stock going down or up. And it's a very fun conversation. It's real spirited. And it's historically been the case. For some reason, they all kind of clicked into place with this one and huge, you know, in a huge numbers and scope of both in number of people and the types of bets they're making. And boom, all of a sudden you have this organized, you know, this organization that takes place out of chaos. It's fascinating.
What started as like a fun gathering of people trying to stick it to the men now feels like a revolt. Like this feels like a world war. Who's the William Wallace? Who's the dude at the front with the face paint and the broadsword? You told me about this one kid. Well, tell me about this kid. The kitty.
Yeah, he's like 53. Wasn't it 53K to 50 million the other day? He held strong.
Yeah.
I wanted to say something on that because you think that maybe the perfect storm of the fact Michael Burry, you know, made a post about it in 2019. He kind of got behind it. And if you know Michael Burry, he stuck it to the man with, you know, shorting the house and Mike it back in the day. And like you guys are committing fraud.
He was the guy in the big short.
He was the guy.
Yeah.
And then people realize that, you know, this Melvin Capital is also the same dirtbag trying to take Elon Musk down. I feel like people want a chance to like be like, I want to be heard in this world, sure, and I want to make action. Right. And like, this will ripple effect in the stock world forever.
But even Burry then yesterday kind of almost rolled back on it at the end of all this and said, yo, this has reached a point now where it's dangerous.
Why do you think?
Somebody paid him probably.
Or he knows how effed up the game is and how shady they can play it. And he feels bad for the common man. I mean, after he made all that money, he turned into like a recluse for a while, right? Because he was just like, the system is so rigged. You know what I'm saying? And I think that partly people don't want people to lose. And to be honest with you in this, normally the people who are losing are the people who succumb to the pressure, right? And they take a lost position. Like I always say, like I've done well in the stock market. And I've had horrible months. I mean, months that make you want to like cry or rethink all of your objectives in life.
Right.
But you hold. You like hold. You're like, all right, no longer doing this, right?
But to the point he made earlier about this all being kind of started from like gaming and joking. Do you think there's any rightfulness for the people who do this for a living to be upset outside of financial reasoning? Like, yo, like a lot, like stonks, Dogecoin, like that little meme dog, you know, going up against these institutional people. And I understand, yes, do we want to remove some of that money from hedge funds? Yes. Do we want to even the playing field? For sure. But do you think there's any level of it where some of these guys are like, yo, I've been doing this for 40 years. Like I studied my whole fucking life to do this. My family depends on this money, whatever, especially some of the guys at the lower levels that aren't, you know, $1 billion golden parachute guys, but these guys that have studied their whole life to be there. Do you think there's any level of that? People that are just upset because a group of people are using a fucking meme dog to be,
of course,
but again, no, absolutely. Like, first of all, it absolutely has poetic justice. You know, like this concept of sticking it to the man. It feels good. It's got a feel good story. And I'll tell you who's kicking themselves: the guys that were sitting out in 2010 with their pickets outside of Wall Street, saying that we got to occupy it, hoping to take over the control of it. But they're just complaining. They're like, no, man, this isn't fair. Whatever. You know, these guys figured out a different way to do it. I don't think it was their intention to take down Wall Street because, you know, it's not the same situation. It's not like they're out of a job, or whatever. They're just bored and they're making money with it. And it kind of turned into it. But here's what I want to see on that particular thing. This whole like, oh, we also got to stuff these short sellers, whatever. One thing is taking down a fund that, you know, a hedge fund that feels good because they've done it. This is an invite only big boys club. And all of a sudden these nobodies got together and just knocked somebody out, you know, in poker, right? The what's going to be interesting is as soon as the stocks turn around, maybe these GameStop, maybe some of these other ones are trading in general. I know for a fact they're all going to change their mind and they're going to say, all right, guys, let's go ahead and just short this too because it's going down. These guys are after making money and they're not going to, you know, they're not going to sit out on any money. And the fact is most likely at some point GameStop's going to come back down to reality. And these people, they're going to make money on the way back down and sure call them hypocrites, but you know, it's going to make people go crazy, you know, because right now they're thinking, oh, you know, these guys, they're all in it for making money. So I can't wait for that to happen because this whole movement against short bettors, I've seen this happen time and time again on Wall Street. Yeah. Sorry. On Wall Street bets, you know, it happened last year during the you know, temporary crash in the market and they change their mind. But to your second point, the meme stocks, absolutely, it's got to piss these people off. They have to go and learn about discounted cash flows with who knows what, with the EBITDA tax, whatever, you know, and they get these certifications, the CF, you know, there's all sorts of certifications, really difficult to get. And yeah, these guys are sitting there going, ha ha, my Tesla has a ludicrous button and I'm going to turn these calls, these bets into a ludicrous bet, you know, and they make a funny TikTok video. And then they actually make money. That's the thing. So these old timers will sit there and say, you guys don't know what you're doing. You're going to lose your shirt. Well, they haven't lost their shirt yet. And it's been a while since they've been doing this, long before GameStop. And the fact is, their little funny pictures are having an effect on it. So I'll give you one example. Last year, when the pandemic started, everyone was locked in. You know, people having to do Zoom meetings for everything. They're like, let's invest in Zoom. And they look it up, and they look up the wrong Zoom company because there's ticker symbols and they don't always match. So they bought a company that just happened to have that ticker, and they shot up this unsuspecting company, the price of the stocks, astronomically, right? The other Zoom also went up. The correct one also went up. And these institutional traders going, ha ha, you children, you picked the wrong stock. You don't know what you're doing in the investing world. But these children made more money picking the wrong stock than they did had they picked the real That's Zoom. Wild. They took their money, that walked away. They said, they're not waiting for dividends on these things, you know? So it's crazy.
It's like a perfect storm right now, though, too. Yeah. I think everybody is looking for a way to organize themselves. Could you imagine it happening right now? Because like he was saying, I see in the group, I mean, I've spent far too much time as a father of four children. I probably shouldn't be on Reddit for fucking 16 hours a day, but so be it. But what I'm seeing on there is a lot of people actually holding. For example, the kitty guy that had 53K. I mean, this guy has life-changing money. And yes, he sold a little of his position, but he's sitting there with, what, $30, $40 million in shares. I mean, we're educated guys, and I'm holding my stuff. I'm willing to take it down because I just like how history writes its story.
I'm holding it to the grave.
I'm that way. I'm like,
to the moon.
If the Renaissance happens and they go look through the files, I want to be like, that boy is one of us. Like, I grew up with nothing. I went to prison. I've been through all these things. It is really kind, just like he said, it's poetic justice. Just to see just to watch him stressed. That right there, like, ulcers are probably forming and all this.
Hemorrhoids.
Yeah. Here's my They've never been stressed probably like this.
What stops the Robin Hoods, the Stonks guys, the Dogecoiners from making $50 to $100 million, banding together and becoming the old fart hedge fund?
So this is
like,
what
so
I was
with
saying.
Great power comes great responsibility. Are these the people that change the wave completely? They go, they get their money, and they're like, you know what? I made $100 million on Stonks last year with that little bald guy with the fucking arrow that always goes up. I'm gonna give 90% back to the community. Yep. Like, are we seeing that? Are we starting to see that happen?
I feel like we will.
We saw a little bit of giving back the money last year when I said the stocks were crashing. They were making so much money shorting the economy, and just they were cheering on the unemployment rate. They're cheering on the world's going to crash and burn because it was hurting the stocks, and they were making so much money. And they felt guilty to the point that, yes, they started donating that money. They found random causes to do it with. But you know, they had that little bit of conscience. Now, if they're going to turn around and create a participant to be a big fund, it's so hard to tell. Like, I just checked the Twitter account and saw the what's her name? Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Yeah.
Is totally cheering this thing on. Right. And she's a player. And Elizabeth Warren, like, you have people in Congress that are taking the side of Wall Street bets.
Crazy.
And are cheering it on and saying, they're pissed off that Robinhood apparently stopped people from trading certain stocks today to try and contain some of this madness. And they're pissed about it. They're like, wait, hold on a second. It's fair when it's the big guys, but when it's the little guys, you guys are getting out of the way. Like, you guys feel uncomfortable. What's the deal?
Well, yeah. This is where I get confused. That seems so obviously illegal. Like, they should. Who wouldn't be pissed off about this? If you're truly unbiased and you just see the scenario, someone describes it to you, there's someone who's definitely wrong. And there's someone who's definitely right. There's a bad guy, and maybe I'm a little biased, a good guy, right? So it's good that these people are speaking up here. I just, what's
well,
the repercussion?
Here's an interesting question.
What
right?
happens now?
Let's turn this around, right? I've heard accusations of market manipulation and blah, blah, blah. Who knows if that's going to be true or not? It's interesting. I get both phones. And I'm also not an expert with it, but the accusations are being made toward Wall Street bets for market manipulation. You want to know what else is manipulating the market? When you stop people from trading that stock, did you see what happened to the rice price today? It's down like 20, 50, I don't know what percentage.
Yeah.
And I think in no small part because these guys decided to cut off the valve, they're just as, you know, big a player in manipulating the market, and they're actually an organized union. You know, if I were a regulator, I'd be asking myself these questions. Who's having an effect on these prices? And they're both having an effect. These retail people are pushing the stock up. And the fact that these brokers are blocking them, they're pushing this stock down. There's no free market.
Who's the referee here? Again, I'm new. Is it the SEC?
The SEC, yeah.
Where's the SEC?
Well, I was going to say, what happens if they already know the fine? Like, they already know kind of what they're going to get. You know, they've done this before. This isn't, like, new.
Right.
What happens if they're like, we either lose $20 billion this week and, you know, funds may shut their doors. We might have, like, you know, irreversible damage. Or we do what we always do. We pay our $3 billion slap on the wrist and let's go to what's the dope snowboard hill up in Spain or whatnot, right? Corcheval.
You want to know what's even more interesting than that? Is what's actually behind the scenes. I haven't seen enough conversation about Citadel. Citadel is the company that handles the order flows for Robinhood, right? They make money every time you trade, period. That's it. They don't care if you make money, lose money. They don't care if you short it, you long it. They're making money off of this thing. And a lot of it. Because yesterday was the highest volume of stock options traded in the history of Wall Street. So they made the most amount of money on that aspect of it. And you know what else happened? After they knocked over this Melvin Capital Fund, Citadel said, hey, I got a ton of cash laying around that I happen to have made on unrelated activity to your demise. I'll go ahead and buy you. That is the most hostile takeover in the history of Wall Street. I mean, they devised, or at least they're in a comfortable position, and they don't have to worry about the regulators. They're just processing flows. They're like the credit card merchant.
It feels like you're sitting at a poker table with a chip leader. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, they can just muscle anything they fucking want. You know when you're sitting there and you have just enough to get in on the fucking blinds and you're like, yo, I'm going to fight back. And Wall Street is sitting there with fucking stacks of chips. Bro, listen, when this all started happening yesterday, the hedge funds just bought calls. They just bought calls on fucking GameStop to cover their fucking shorts losses. Now they're going to buy more shorts on the way back down. They're going to make more money than the people that put the whole fucking program together. And they're going to be sitting at the table with an even bigger stack, also saying, now you owe us money for pulling this shit. And they're going to fuck.
Absolutely. That is absolutely missing from the conversation. People talking about how these hedge funds are losing. I hate to break it to you. They're not. That one did. You know, Melvin did. But these guys, look, I talked to Andrew Left, the guy from Citron or whatever. And, being careful with my words, he didn't seem too worried, right? I have a feeling that everybody knows what they're doing. It's not their first rodeo. One fund went down, but the rest of them seem to be just fine. Absolutely, there's other ways to take this on. So, yeah, they're going to make money too.
Yeah, you think Stevie Cohen woke up stressed out this morning? Nope. He's not fucking
Chuck
stressed.
Chuck Rhodes didn't show up. Chuck Rhodes showed up, he would be.
Yeah, but like 15% on 0.72, do you not understand what 85% still on the table looks like for 0.72? They're going to make it back.
Yep.
This is not going to break anything, but it did create a nice fucking ripple, which is a start. It's a start.
We interrupt this program to bring you a word from our sponsor, and it's a great one. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals, Mike?
Absolutely.
Well, BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. There's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. The service is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Visit their website and read their testimonials that are posted daily. Visit betterhelp.com/Logan. That's better, H-E-L-P. And join H-E-L-P. Yeah. Join over a million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and Impulsive listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/Logan. Back to the program.
I have a question.
Maybe the thing is, these guys are used to playing these big stacks, and they're not used to, they don't even consider when an individual comes in, because that's not even enough money to make the ante. Nowadays, now they've actually been out-muscled a little bit, and they were not prepared. So they are in an uncomfortable place.
Right, right.
Are these, Melvin Capital shareholders, are these people like potentially open to sue Melvin Capital for, they're supposed to be a fiduciary. You would think if you're shorting a company that hard and, you know, open yourself that much, you're not really thinking about the future. So like part of me is like, what happens if they get, like the shareholder gets bailed out because of, you know, these companies are doing shady stuff? Who pays that? How does that go down?
Yeah, I don't honestly know enough about that to tell you, but I'll tell you this. When you said that they shorted something really hard, the thing about short sales, like if you want to just open up an account, I don't even think you can do it with Robinhood, but if you want to short an account, you usually have to go through some extra steps, because when you put it down on paper, they say potential losses are infinite, right? When you buy a stock, the potential losses is however much value. It's, you know, it's $100 and go to zero. But if you're shorting a stock, it's $100 and go to infinite. And so you only have to share to short one share to lose infinite amount of money in theory, right? In practice, not the case. So I think more the case is why didn't they get out earlier? I don't know how big a position they had, but based off of how close to infinite GameStop got, they probably should have cut their losses earlier or taken some, you know, bought some calls, whatever. Yep. That's what I want to know.
I bet you it's the money.
Not only that, but I bet you it's also an optics thing. I bet you it's an optics thing for the fund to say, no way we're going to take a fucking L to the internet. Yep. We're going to figure this out. This stock's coming back down. And imagine sitting there as it went to 190, to 210, to 250, to 280, sitting there. We're not fucking losing these shorts. We're holding on to these. We're not getting beat by Reddit. We're not getting beat by Elon Musk and just getting your fucking shorts handed.
Well, that's
where
Ken Griffin Citadel came in with Stephen Cohen. They said, hey, you know, Melvin Capital, don't sell your shares, your big positions. We'll cover your downside. Like, don't sell them.
Again, I want to reiterate, this literally feels like a war where I'm watching the leverage go back and forth.
Yep.
Like, once this hit mainstream media yesterday, there was a moment when it started to really, really, really spike, which is, you were here. That's when I bought in and bought some options. And then the Reddit got shut down. Wall Street Bets, right? Or was it the Discord or both? Or the Reddit went private?
Yeah, the Discord got shut down for unrelated reasons. And the Reddit, you know, the subreddit goes private on a regular basis. You know, a lot of times when they're getting a lot of heat, sometimes it's a joke, sometimes it's a, you know, legitimate change. I don't really know yesterday exactly what it was, but it's up to the moderators to temporarily put a stop to conversation.
Gotcha. Because when that happened, and Portnoy spoke on this, and I backed him on Twitter, every time a group or a person has been deplatformed, their message is activated amplified.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like you get slapped in the face and your army comes back. So then I felt like the leverage was back in the Redditor's power, the retail buyer's power, and everyone was preparing today to buy, to go crazy. It was going to be, you know, the second coming. And
absolutely,
we woke up today and you can't do anything.
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? Like, they actually ended up getting some pretty high-profile and some big heavy-hitter allies in this. They got Mark Cuban tweeting about this. And obviously, before all this got too crazy, Elon Musk weighed in. But now you have politicians, big-time politicians that are weighing in on this and are also outraged about the fact that there's this back and forth. And they're taking sides, right? And they're taking them for much more philosophical reasons than just making a few, you know, making some tendies to dip in the champagne. It's absolutely is. I agree 100% with that, yeah.
He called it a war, which it is. And you know, we all know what the right side is. We all know the side that we want to be on. We all know the side that we want to win, excuse me. But unfortunately, like right now, that side is made up of a bunch of people with knives facing off against a bunch of people with nuclear weapons. Like, this is not, leverage has not swung in any way. You saw 0.00000001% swing in leverage yesterday. Bro, and when you see that lever swing to favor the little guys, they'll just move a lever in a different department to fuck you anyways.
Yep.
Like, this all feels great and is, as he said, is very poetic and we've talked about it. But honestly, like, this would need to really keep up and really gain like some serious fucking traction to even put a dent in the system that is American wealth.
But even that 0.001% is made a huge change.
Like a ripple, a massive ripple.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Absolutely. That was going to be my point, right? Like, so maybe you're not there, they're playing with weight, but you look at any type of change in the history of anything, right? Like, it starts with conversations.
Yep.
And the conversations are being had. It doesn't matter if it was just, you know, you can make the price of a share go up with very little money. That's the penny stocks are famous for this, and that's one of the properties for them. So in theory, you know, like, it's whether or not somebody's willing to sell something at a certain price. That transaction is posted, and that price is the new price, whether $1 was changed or $1 billion was changed. It's definitely the case with Bitcoin. But the fact is, these conversations are no longer these light, the featherweight division. This is a very, very heavy hitting conversation that's starting in every major social change, from gay rights to, you know, whatever, marijuana legalization. Just trying to come up with some of the recent ones. That's exactly how it starts with these types of events.
Yep.
Yeah. No, they're used to picket fences. This was like, put it this way. It was so much that they did this blatantly in our faces, knowing that there's maybe knowing there's some sort of repercussion coming, but they did it right in your faces because it's that strong. I guarantee they were so worried what would happen this morning. I was up with you last night, talk with Banks. New friends coming in. They're like, where do I put money? I'm like, first off, we gambling here right now. Second,
yeah, he's like, what's going to, we were talking to Banks about it last night. And there's this question of like, yo, what can happen here? At the end of the day, no one really knows what's going to fucking happen. That's always the case with stocks. But especially when you get into the volatile stuff, which we talked about earlier, companies with terrible fucking technicals, GameStop, I hate to say it, is a dead enterprise.
It was
it's
the Russell 500 or whatever. Russell 1000's number one stock.
What'd you say?
It was like the Russell's number one stock for a while. Like, wasn't it something like that? It was crazy. Like that right there, should be plaqued up somewhere.
like, let's be honest. Is GameStop going to come back on technicals and mechanics and become and stick in the Fortune 500s as a stock that people want to own based on profit and gain?
No.
Well, let's be fair. I agree with your point, but let's look at Tesla.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah, for sure.
I was like, if the Winklevi have their way, they're going to turn all their USD capital into Bitcoin.
Did you just say the Winklevi?
Yeah, you like that?
Hippopotami.
Incredible.
It's the same thing you do with the hippopotamus.
That's what they call both of them at once?
Yeah.
Nice. Is this war winnable? Is it?
Can we win?
Can we win this war?
What's the win, right? Like, what is a war win? Like, you knock out all the hedge funds and
let's start with the trading being opened back up. Like, what happens here? Is it open back up?
I mean, that has to be addressed. People have to be going crazy about this situation because it's no longer a free market. But I don't think it ever really necessarily was, but it looked more free than it does now. It has to open up back up. I mean,
it doesn't look too free right now, man.
They literally locked it out this morning.
Well, because you see trading.
You want to know who I feel bad for is the people at GameStop, because those guys, you know, whether you're the owner and have shares because you're the owner or because you're the company and own shares, you could sell some of these shares and get yourself out of these deep holes. They could reinvent themselves with the amount of money they could make. But the problem is, and this is the regulation, if they sell these shares knowing that they're not worth that amount of money to unwitting customers, they start getting into regulatory problems themselves. Now we're talking about these pumping, even if they didn't cause the pump, they just need to fraudulently unload these things, knowing that they're trying to get rid of these stocks at a high price. That's kind of where the pump and dump definition comes from. So they got to go crazy. They know that they got to be with so much money right now. But if they sell to either save the company or to buy a yacht, they're in hot water. So they're watching this whole thing going, please, for the love of God.
Even if they wanted to unload their shares, they couldn't because they can't sell them on any of the fucking platforms.
Oh, exactly.
My question is this on that. You see the SEC halt trading on stocks a lot of times from an institutional or from administrative or legislative or whatever you want to call it, mechanical standpoint, they'll halt trading because something is just getting crazy volatile. They're like, we're going to slow this down. Everybody take a fucking breather before you do what you're going to do next, right? You see it all the time with penny stocks and all these other stocks that have that increased volatility, 100% shifts, you know, either way. Is this the first time we've seen a private institution like Robinhood make that decision for the SEC?
I don't know that they did. I don't know that they did make the decision for the SEC. It does not make any sense that Robinhood woke up this morning and said, I want to do the right thing and put an end to this madness. They clearly were pressured. Yesterday, it started happening with other brokers, you know, with TD Ameritrade and whatever. I can't imagine. In fact, I even saw a tweet. I have to see exactly when it came out where they kind of ambiguous. They don't feel comfortable with this. I don't think it was their own willing to step in on behalf of the SEC. I like to think they were pressured into it. It makes no sense. They're already innovators. They're already, they've already shattered the status quo of how things work. It doesn't make sense for them to start behaving like the traditional ones out of nowhere.
So what happens to Robinhood? If I'm a user of Robinhood, the app, should I continue using it?
Well, you don't have much of a choice. You know, like there's other, I guess you can kind of keep going to different platforms and maybe they'll end up having to do the same thing. Because once again, I don't think it's coming from internal board conversations. So you're kind of screwed. You know, like I said, maybe you'll find some other platform for now, and maybe there'll be a cat and mouse game or whatever. But I don't know. I think Robinhood is overcome some serious challenges. They've been criticized because they have terrible execution, because they're slow, because they give you crap prices,
security issues,
because they're front run. Yeah, they've had a lot of outages during last year. Also, when the stocks were doing crazy things, they had outages during the most important days of the stock market, both when they were dropping 10% or up 10%. And people, yeah, but people came back to it. You know, they're like, yeah, we're going to leave, whatever. And they did. They loved it for whatever reason. They're like, I don't know. They have a love-hate relationship with it. They have such a fun interface. Look,
that's why.
Talk about the power of a good OS or the power of a good fucking interface. You look at it so pretty.
You're not going to stop using it. I won't say what it is, but it's complicated. Even the one you have, it's complicated.
And
I hate it.
And you got to like talk. Like, I have to call someone on the phone. They got to be like, are you you? You got to send some ID. You go on Robinhood. What, you like get an account in 5 minutes? You can upload money.
Seconds.
Like, you're done, right?
Not only that. Check this out. You want to get into stock options, which are complicated. I hate to break it to people. Like, they are. But you get in there and you're like, all right, I think Apple's going to go up. You look up Apple. You're like, sure, options. That sounds good. You go through the prices. You go find what you can afford, right? You got $200 in your account. You have no consideration for strikes or expiration. What that even means. Like, I got $200 in my account. That thing's going to go up. You buy the call. And Robinhood stops you because it wants to make sure you do the right thing. It goes, just to make sure before I process this, do you think the stock is going up or down, right? You guys are playing stock options. And you answer with an arrow, a green arrow, the color-coded picture that goes up. And then you get confetti to celebrate.
Yeah,
but to be honest,
when you buy a stock, it blows up.
Wow. No one's going to stop using it.
No, of course not.
They figured it out.
The fat people in Wall-E with the bones, with no bone structure, were using Robinhood. 100%. They were sitting in those little incubators on Robinhood looking at the confetti explode. It's a beautiful app.
Oh, no. But didn't you just say something about Portnoy posted that like 60% of the trades are done with Citadel and... Yeah. And Robinhood. Yeah. So like now it makes you start wondering that maybe Citadel is, you know, in collusion with them and doing their thing. And then what happens? How do they think about you? Think about these mechanisms they made.
Yeah.
That's like something I do for my daughter who's 4. Right. They're like congratulating you. Like, hey, dipshit. Are you sure you're not being a dipshit right now? Check yourself. Like that. Just you see what I'm saying? So like they kind of already like in a way it feels like they built this to move this.
Right.
Class action lawsuit filed against Robinhood app in the Southern District of New York. Yeah.
You know, it's fascinating. Like it's really tricky because I think the system that like what's there to collude. The biggest way they're making money from this is from people making trades. They don't care if you're going up or down or manipulating stocks or behind these stunts. They just want lots of individuals to make lots of little clicks and get a lot of, you know, confetti animations. That's cha-ching every time that happens. So their collusion is let's get people interested in the stock market, right? They're in a neutral
or front loading.
That's why they're comfortable.
Maybe front loading it too, you know, the speculation.
But of course. Yeah. But that's what I was saying. Like the Robin Hooders don't care. They don't care if the application goes down, they come back to it. You know, try explaining front running to someone that's, you know, that's clicking the green arrow on the call option button.
Candlestick.
They don't care.
Charts.
They don't know. And then I heard somebody on Twitter saying, well, you know, thanks to all these things, they're going to start taxing these trades or whatever. Like, they're not going to care about that either. You know, they're losing money on the front running. They're losing money on the spreads. They're losing money on the execution. What the hell is a few extra cents on this thing? Like, they're going for 10 Bs. They're going for the moon. When the stock price goes up $100, what the hell is 15 cents for this particular trade? Like, it's not stopping them.
That's the good thing at the end of the day here, regardless of what it does to combat institutional trading and hedge funds and how big that wave actually is. The big wave here is transparency. The big wave is blowing the lid off this fucker and showing people what's really sitting underneath it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's a lot of people that woke up this morning and are like, wow, this is fucked. This is fucked. People are making money. And private interests and the government are saying stop making money. This money belongs to people that you aren't as good as. You don't deserve that money. Like, we're seeing it. We know now.
I think it was a crazy house of cards that they did not want to allow to open up. The world. They know what's going on, and this could open up the can of worms that could be.
So okay, that's the biggest thing is what's the takeaway. Where do we go from here? Do we flock to cryptocurrency? Coinbase is trending on Twitter right now.
Doge.
Coinbase. Everyone's buying
Doge up like a
Doge. Coin's flying. Dude.
Is the answer in coming up with a decentralized system?
What do we do?
Why not? I mean, these things are just numbers that move around. Like, you're buying Dogecoin, you have these fundamental people go, well, let me explain to you the thing about the blockchain and the way the fiat currencies and the gold back, whatever. Like, you know, they make it. And then you got the kids going, dude, you don't understand how this technology works. It's great because you have the ledgers and whatever. Like, it doesn't matter that the thing went up and it went down. Like, it's another option for you to be able to pick. Like, if you want to talk about abstract things, I'm fascinated by volatility instruments. These are super complicated to explain, super complicated to understand. And then they layer complexities on top of complexities. These are math formulas. They're not even, you can't even come close to something in reality, but those numbers move up and down and people can make money buying options and calls or whatever on these crazy math formulas. And they don't care. So sure, I mean, throw in some cryptocurrencies into the mix. Dave Portnoy, I love what he did last year because he also was a unified voice because he's got an audience that he did pull the lid on this, on this elite approach to Wall Street. You know, these people that supposedly doing sophisticated things. He's like, dude, I forget what stocks he'd go for, but I use this because I feed my dog this food. So I'm going to buy this stock and it would go up and he made tons of money. And then that's funny. And then what's also serious about that is when he lost money, he was cool about it. He goes, guess what, guys? I lost money. It's part of the game, but I lost my money. Not that guy. I did not pay that guy commissions to lose that money. Mm. This one's on me. So that's more profound, I think. So
even with the crypto too, and you know, wherever this goes from here, it's just like, you know, I was talking to somebody about it this morning, decentralized currency. And they were like, well, the good thing about crypto and decentralized currency is the government can never touch it. It's untouchable by the government. And I was like, that's great. Like, they can never fuck with the blockchain. Like, they can never take the money out of your wallet.
Until they can.
I said, what if they tell you the new tax rate on crypto capital gains is 95%?
Or what happens to make it illegal?
What if they say, yo, if you use or are found in ownership of crypto, you're going to jail for 10 years. So yep. At the end of the day, like, yeah, we're decentralized. We don't go by the same rules as you do. From the jail cell, that story becomes less intriguing.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just all fucked. It's fucked, man. Are we even going to the moon at this point? Why am I wearing this?
He really wants to go to the moon.
I thought we were going today.
Oh, you're astronaut.
I missed the fucking flight, dude.
What's crazy is...
I mean, to your first point, the blockchain, the crypto people are going to, you know, say, well, they can't tax me because the technology, you know, allows us to not do that. Your second point is where it's at, right? Like, look what happened with Silk Road. They're like, all right, you know, here's your eBay or your Craigslist or whatever for buying whatever the heck you want to buy with it because crypto is super anonymous, whatever. And now they're tweeting from a jail cell. So, you know, the government does ultimately have a bit of a strong hand they can always play. They can always make an example out of individuals and kind of scare people out of it. So, you know, as much as you can decentralize it, the government still plays
the nature of cryptocurrency is global, right?
Yeah.
So the government, uh-huh. States government could only...
No, but what's the international government called? The one that comes after you if you go on the run?
Interpol?
Interpol. Interpol. Just they're like, no. It's decentralized. I left America. They yep. can't touch me. It's global. And they're like, have you heard of Interpol? they exist in every country in the world that they can arrest.
Extradition.
Like, my question is, once again, at what point do I just eat the Matrix steak? Invest as much money as I can in Amazon, too big to fail, yep. Take the fucking returns and eat my filet mignon, knowing that I'm a part of the system that's destroying you know what I'm saying?
Here's what's funny is last night I was looking up. I was like, how big is the financial market, the stock market, right? I think it was like $55 trillion, if I'm correct. It's like around there. Is that, I think that's,
I Googled it. I'll tell you right now.
The market cap on the entire.
$68.5 trillion.
There you go. Okay. So look this up.
$70 trillion.
What is the derivatives market total? This was crazy. So
I have the answer to that.
It's crazy. I looked it up and they said it's like $1.2 quadrillion dollars.
Whoa.
So it's like a swap. So it's like a game that we're not able to play, right? It's like between two big counterparts. And again, they're really convoluted and there's millions of forms of it. But just understand people are making bets on top of bets. My whole point here is everybody's like, oh, the hedge funds, oh, all these things. These motherfuckers have got 1.2 tri- you know, quadrillion dollars. Some people say it's 10 times the world's GDP on these contracts that make no sense. Last time we got caught in swaps was the housing crisis. People think because people went backside on their homes, that's why it all went to shit. No, banks could have restructured. We could have pushed things out like we're doing right now. But there was $15 trillion of swaps. People betting on if you were going to be right or you were going to be right. I'll bet you $200 billion. Okay, at 100 to 1. And when it backsided, the money disappeared.
I've never heard quadrillion used in practical
application. Let me read you a quote from...
I saw it last night. I was like, this can't be right.
A book I wrote, and I published it long before this madness takes place, about Wall Street bets. And it says, you know, the World Bank... estimates that there's a $69 trillion market cap for all the companies, but the derivatives market is an astounding 1.2 quadrillion. This was a year ago, right? To put that under perspective, for every dollar of value that exists in a share of a given company, the kind of thing to explain to a five-year-old, $17 exists in this acronym-laden, leveraged, counterparty-dependent, abstract variety that Wall Street bets uses to YOLO, right? That is what we're talking about. Correct. $1 of serious money versus $17 of YOLO money.
So we're not even at the table.
Correct.
Like remember when I talked earlier about the hedge funds having the chip leading stack and we have the Annie just to buy in?
Yep.
We're actually not even at the table. The table is so far above and away from us with hands that literally move the wealth of countries.
And they gamble
the entire GDP of countries on one fucking bet, dude.
What's crazy is what I was saying.
Some
of these swaps, like think of it like this. They did a really good analogy. It's somewhere on the internet and they used gambling, right? And it would be like you and me betting on, you know, Jeff has a 20 and the dealer showing like a six or a seven. Mm-hmm. Right. And I'm like, I bet Jeff's going to win. I bet you $100 million.
Yeah,
Mike. And you're like, well, of course he is. Well, that's a dumb bet, but I'll go against you if you give me 200 to one on the options. Now the money's on the table. There's no new money added to the fucking table. It's just us talking about it and us trusting that the other person would do it because the likelihood of me not winning is it's very unlikely, but when it happens, it backsides so fast. So my question was always like, wait until like the Reddit world and stuff start understanding derivatives and swaps and like how they can like fluctuate like corn and orange and soy and oil and these things that can really actually have a problem. And now here comes the other side of that. Them doing that, them uprooting this system could destroy all of us in its existence in the wake of it because we've allowed these people, these financial guys, gals, whatever, to prop us up like this. So all it takes is one thing. This is why probably they don't want these kids, all of us, to come in and see their game because they're not worried about the thing they're showing us. They're worried that shit, they might be smart enough to see the shit we're not showing.
Oh my God.
And then what happens?
That's a great question.
Anarchy.
You know what? Like, let me make it more complicated than that because in this scenario, that scenario would have been good a year ago. But now we have a different scenario where you betting your 200 to 1 odds, whatever, on this blackjack hand actually has an outcome on the game. In other words, if you, it'd be hard to squeeze it into it, but the fact that so many people are making these side bets using these derivative markets that have no effect on the underlying is not the case anymore. The reason why GameStop's going up is because the mechanics of it. What's happening is GameStop is a company that was small cap, right? Makes it more susceptible to price moves with less money. Number one. Number two, it was heavily shorted. All right. And number three, these guys go in there with really, with a huge amount of volume buying out of the money, deep out of the money call options. They have short-term expiration. So there's three participants. There are people that are short GameStop, the people that are long GameStop with call options. And then there's the middle guys, which are the ones that are selling these call options. They're kind of neutral. They're like, whatever. I don't care if it goes up or down. I'll sell you the option. I'll make money on the premium. And I'll hedge my bet based off of what's happening with the price. The more the price gets close to that strike price, the more that they have to buy the shares with their own actual money in order to protect their interest. Yep. And then that's called delta hedging. And then if it goes up even further, they have to do something called gamma hedging where they have to – it's complicated. But you're forcing these guys to do their actual money to it. And now the stock price is going up thanks to this. And now go ahead and bring this short squeeze situation out of it because that's a known phenomenon where – these guys have to cover their shorts and they buy the stocks in order. So that So this is a really perfect storm, and it's a formula that they figured out, and they're actually having an effect on the price. Usually when you see a price go up like it did last Friday, you know, almost a week ago, usually every time I've ever seen that, it comes right back down to where it started. And what happened instead, it kept going up. Nobody's seen this before. Because more people found out, the news found out, the news was pumping the stock up too. I hate to break it to you. And now this thing went up like crazy, you know, and the more popular this story became, the more people got into it, the more likelihood you were to win.
The thing is, they're like spreading the on Reddit. If you watch in there, it's actually slightly brilliant, but they're like doing the math on how many shares are available. And they're like, guys, if we don't sell these shares, these nakeds have to cover, and it just keeps skyrocketing.
Do you think people are panic selling right now, or do you think people will really hold these
to be
stocks
honest? Well, what's it at right now? Because I watched it go back up today a little bit. Like, it got pounded on, and then
it was up at one point.
It went like down to 112 and then tripled in 30 minutes.
And then the moment it got up, that's when they restricted the
That last night during the day today on my way over here, it was making its run back up. Yeah, it was
that's
crazy.
That's what I'm saying. It was well on its way up. So to go how high, who knows?
Correct. I think you're going to see people. I think you're, what is it at?
228.
237. And it made a high of 513 at some point.
Crazy.
Today? Yeah.
Wait, so did that 513 smack the shorts at dawn?
Well,
too?
The thing is, what happens is,
but it went back up there. It went up there three times. It went to 513 and went down and went back up and then went back down and went back up. Like, this is not normal.
People are holding. What it shows you, I mean, look at the volume yesterday. Just like you said, it was the largest option volume day in Wall Street history. If you, like today, the volume just shows you. It's like, and if you thought that was crazy, I would have say you could ask pretty much anybody if they thought more people would buy today if it was open. I think the consensus would have been yes.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
So if that happened yesterday with that volume, what happened today? So I think that's the math they're running. They're like, oh my gosh, we're actually going to be caught where this could go to thousands, 10,000.
Is it super hot right now? And can this heat be utilized on Monday if the trading opens back up? Will it open back up?
Maybe tomorrow. I'm hoping tomorrow. I'm hoping tomorrow.
Yeah, right? Like, do we hold?
Here's my thing. Here's my thing. And, you know, I don't feel bad for Wall Street, but it's kind of, you know, sucks for them. But I feel like people have been beat to shit all year. They're stuck at home. They're dwelling on this shit. They're thinking about this shit. And I just don't think that they're going to be like, I'm cool. Because you have to look at this. Most of these people who didn't sell, they're taking a beating. So they've kind of like made this logic in my head, like, well, I'm down 80%, so let's get some tendies and hold this bitch until it goes back up, right?
To the moon.
Correct. Right. So I think the big fear here is this looming desire. And listen, at the end of the day, look at Wall Street Bets. I mean, they've almost got 5 million people on there. What was it a few days ago? It was like 2 million? I mean, this is utterly absurd. I have family members who I don't even think understand what the stock market is. I don't think they understand what digital money is. If it's not on a checkbook, right? Or some cash in their pocket. They're like, what is this? They're like, oh, son, what should we be doing here? And I'm like, oh, my God. So it has this semblance of hype, and I want to be a part of it. And that's what Bitcoin did. You know, in the beginning, I truly think Bitcoin fell in 2017, 18, because a bunch of people were buying with credit cards and things they couldn't afford. So when it started moving back on them, these are people who couldn't lose the money to begin with.
Yeah.
They started like rationalizing, well, I can make $1,000 back. Let me get out. And when retail investors, lots of trades and lots of different people move out, just like he said, the stock's going to go in the direction of the momentum.
Correct.
So I feel like people are seeing that again. This time, though, this is a regulated security. It's in the real world. It's getting mass media attention. I mean, like you said, AOC, and I think even Ted Cruz was like for this. So you're getting bipartisan on both sides of this. I think Wall Street heads aren't going on vacation today. That's probably the end
of
it.
Stevie Cohen just tweeted.
Oh, what'd he say?
I have it right here. He goes,
well, no, I was looking at this other one first, too. I'm not feeling the love on this site today. Trading is a tough game, don't you think? Such a fucking just poking a huge community.
Portnoy wants prison for
Robin Hood app, Steve Cohen, whatever. Steve Cohen responded, "Hey Dave, what's your beef with me? I'm just trying to make a living, just like you. Happy to take this offline." Like he wants to meet him in the parking lot.
Yeah, yeah. Cash him outside.
The thing is El Presidente will probably show up like 4 million people. Like at that's a bad person to step again. Like Chamath, these guys, all they've been doing is good for this world. I mean, right. Chamath is a hedge fund exec or ex hedge fund exec, but he's like part of the people. He's even saying like this has been a corrupt game. It's wrong, you know? So we've got to show what's right and get it done.
My favorite tweet that I saw was somebody saying, now the SEC has to outlaw outsider trading, which is hilarious because that's kind of what they're stuck with doing, right? Like what are you going to do anymore? No, it is cool to watch some big heads like that coming in and weighing in because they have weight, right? The little guys, they don't. A lot of times they don't want to speak their voice. They don't want to break their anonymity. But you have big power players to speak into it. Those people do. So regardless of how much money and what percentage of the stocks they're controlling, whatever it is, like, you know, once these people spoke about it and you have government, you have celebrities, you have the Portnoy, which is kind of everywhere. And you have, sure, Hollywood's probably going to weigh on at any moment. It becomes an actual movement.
Hollywood has, I think everyone I've seen in Hollywood's like, I'm in it. I mean, Dobrik posted like AMC 1, 2, 3, you know, like a fun little
King Batch. Everybody's posting about it.
Yeah, we're holding the line, dude.
I like it.
Who's at the front with the Braveheart?
You might be. The Molly might be rocking it. Come on now. Spin that thing around. Let's go.
Everybody I talked to was just waiting on the Nokia boom today, and then it got fucking smacked, bro.
Yeah. The thing is, I always just tell people in life and anything, consistency. Like, if you want to win at something, just be consistent. Keep showing up, right? Like, you're going to chop a tree down eventually if you just show up. Like, it's going to probably suck at first, hard, and most people give up. But if you sit...
It takes 10 years to become an overnight success.
Yep.
I was reading something about, like, retail traders and, like, institutional investors, and it was saying something like, you know, and it comes off the internet, so don't quote me, but it was something like a retail investor on average holds their trade 6 months, where institutionals hold trades 10 years. So it's like that right there just kind of explains what's happening here. Like it's weak hands, you know.
And what you should do, because it's this, bro, once again, not to bring it back to the gambling thing, but there's a reason the house hits to 17 and everybody sits there and they they look at me and they say, I got a 14 and I'm facing a seven. I don't know. There's been a lot of big cards coming out. Yep. I think I'm going to say, I'm like, bro, the house hits on that hand. Do what the house does.
Yep.
Mimic their behavior to earn like them. If they're holding, hold the fucking stock to the fucking moon.
Yep. It's crazy.
I'm going. Without you.
We're here. I'm here. I got my naked undies on. I didn't think you'd come so prepared, bro. I thought I was going to have the outfit. Just took me down.
Oh, that's hilarious. Hey, guys, I hate to do this to you. I'm having a ton of fun.
No, I'm not going to let you do this because I will not have this done to me again. Jamie, thank you for your time. We appreciate you, bro.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Of course, brother. Of course. Best of luck to you, man.
Bye.
Thanks, brother.
I ain't going to let people fucking tell me when they're done. They're wild.
Crazy, crazy times, man. It's just going to be interesting.
So, Chase, what do we do? Because I'm down some money.
Yep.
Do I hold the line with my fucking boys?
We hold.
Let's
it,
go.
Let's
we
hold
the fucking line.
Let's
no problem.
Go. Let's
well,
go.
I got naked stock. Can I get Can I get a fist? Yeah, I'm also dressed for the trip that you guys are trying to go on. So like,
got
Yeah. Okay.
What? I
mean, and then just watch Wall Street collapse or build back. Like, what happens?
Yeah. Watch it. And you know, I want to just like leave. I'm not a financial investor. I'm not giving advice, but I think I can offer a little bit of insight. I came from nothing. I went to prison. I built my success from the ground up and I learned that it comes slow. But one thing I've really figured out in life is people's emotional control of things. When it comes to money and investing, if you can break that up even a little bit, you have a much better chance because emotions are harder to control as is, and they cause us to do things that we regret later on in all facets of life. So one thing that I did when I had a lot of emotions in trading is I picked something that I was already wasting money on. Maybe I went to movies all the time or I went to the club. It's $200 a month.
Yeah.
What I did is I looked at it like this. I'm like, listen, I want to be in the game. I ain't rich, but I want to participate. I can't take crazy swings to put in 10 grand and lose 2 G's. I can't take it. So what I would do is I would just put in $200 every month to the things I liked. And I would forget it because to me, I already blew that money. Mm. And the sheer fact...
Did you stop doing the things?
Like, did you stop going to the clubs? Did you stop going to the
Yes, correct.
Okay,
I removed.
You substituted.
Correct. Okay. Otherwise, I'd have gone broke, right? You have to have, like, conviction in what you want. Like, it's not hard to become successful. It's arduous. It takes a long time. We think it's going to be, and it just, the second you realize it takes time. And my only advice is I can give to people is 10 years ago, I was a broke nobody, hated by everybody, walking piece of shit in people's eyes. 10 years later, I don't even remember what that was like. And I didn't do anything crazy. I just was consistent every single day. I said, fuck the noise. They're always trying to distract me. Everything in the world is trying to. I just want to make my life better. How do I do it the way they're doing it? I just started buying. That was it. I'm like, listen, that 10 grand for the year is going to be gone anyways. I'm trying to get pussy or do whatever I want. Baby, you know me, that's prior to our marriage. Love you. Love you. You know, but the idea here is like, I just really think we need to educate people more of the chance they have, right? Because a little bit of money in all the time with, you know, consistently with time equals wealth. Money,
periodic buying.
Yes, money plus time
it's the smartest
equals wealth.
Thing.
Yep. You're still doing it to this day.
To this day.
You told me how much you unload on Bitcoin every day. It's wild.
Yep, 25 grand every single day I buy. Every single day. And it's...
What?
It's because, you know, I want to buy bigger pieces. I believe I've done very well in the markets. This year has been crazy, right? Yep. It's been, you know, last year we've done very well. But I like the idea of even me managing that craziness. Right. So some days I buy at 40,000. Some days I'm getting at 30. So it feels better as my account's going up. And it's less like, oh, my God, I just lost my whole house. Or, oh, my God, I got to change the way I live now. Or I can't go do that. Because that's when it really starts messing you up, is when you like change the narrative of your future.
Yeah.
You're like,
yeah.
I lost 10 grand. I gotta move to a one bedroom apartment. I gotta sell my car. And now how do you ever get back on the winning path again when you're like constantly debilitating yourself? Yeah. So that's always, I just tell people, I think people, more of this would take place. More of, quote unquote, the little man would have a fighting chance if they were just consistent.
Yeah.
They erased the negative things in their life that are completely pointless and mindless, and they start building their future.
And also, and that's such a great point. And also, I think goes along with trading at your level of expertise. I think there's so many people that see this action and they see all these people. Oh, this guy went 50K to 50 million, which, yep, by the way, bravo, that's fucking incredible. Amazing. But for the average person who's jumping in trying to do that, filled with emotions,
yes,
scared trading, they get in, they drop 10K this morning, they call their broker. I saw all the GameStop news, 10K in GameStop. It's now 4K. They sell, they take a $6,000 hit because they're not informed. They're not doing what they should be doing. Your system is very smart. Trickle money in over time, as opposed to putting it into a savings, yep, account periodically. Put it into the market. Put it into some blue chips. Put it into, yep, some mid caps, whatever the fuck it is.
And don't try to trade. I mean, that's my personal opinion. I day traded for like 2 years.
Ugh,
I probably was like an inch from like beating my wife
kids
and like,
bro,
making all my friends hate me. You're like literally a toxic.
Crack it. Yeah.
Like you have a great win. Like, I mean, a great win. And then the next day, it's like a low. It is crazy. It's like your best friend, like, just cheated on you with your girl in your bed, like with your favorite stuffy or something right next to you, petting your dog. Like, it's just, you're like, how did I come to this?
Your job has become being a professional blackjack dealer,
right,
player. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're at a table. You're a little bit more informed about what cards are going to come because, right, you've done studies and stuff. But at the end of the day, like, who knows if it's going to be a 3 under the 8 or a fucking a 10 or a 7, yep, you know?
Yeah.
I saw your tweet this morning.
You want to go to prison, you said? He has his own episode.
Oh, yeah, he's gonna have his own episode. Yeah, of course.
Love you.
Especially even having you on today, I'm like, bro, this is too much here. But
this is fun though.
It was great. Yeah. This is the last thing I'll say. I saw your tweet this morning. This would be crazy. So I mentioned that Chase built the Maverick Club and
the Overtime Crew.
Yeah, he powers Subify, who does the premium subscription based models. If you don't want to do OnlyFans, we at Subify.VIP would love to power Wall Street Bets community. We truly believe we can build something for this movement that would become so powerful that we can even the playing field against these cock holsters of human beings. That would be wild.
That would be amazing.
That would be wild.
I would love to do it. I think we could. I actually think we could do something that disrupted a lot of stuff. Just imagine, like, first off, there's tons of money being made. Imagine like a commutative like hold, right, where we could all vote on what's happening with it, right?
Yep.
Like, just think about that. Oh. Think about 5 million people voting.
Is that going to be outlawed after? Well,
who knows? But like, I can tell people what I've traded. 8 million people can go on their Twitter and say, I traded this position. You know, like, I'm in. I love it. This is what's happening. It's just, I'm curious is what you're going to be able to get away with enough money. we could probably get away with the same shit they're getting away with.
There we go. Cheers to that, man. Wild.
Just saying.
All right, so we'll end it there. Chase, thanks for joining us.
Love having you guys.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we had you.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I hear you.
Yeah.
I
hear you. Maybe he did. Maybe he did. Who knows?
Who knows? Who knows?
Thanks I am your dad.
Impulsive is in many ways. Thanks for listening to Impulsive. Hit that subscribe button. Hope you learned something today. We'll see you next time.
To the moon! Bye.